Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. And you know that Grooving Radio, we have thought-provoking conversations. This morning, we're going to have one of those conversations. I am looking at a report in front of me. It says 25% of Jamaican fathers are raising a jacket. 25% of Jamaican men are raising a child that is not theirs. But there's also another report that says one in three Jamaican men are raising children that are not their own. Think about the trauma, the psychological damage, the mental effect when fathers find out. Well, this morning, we're going to deal with this. We have a psychotherapist. His name is Mr. George Ogilvy. And we have a man who have lived through this all. Businessman, musician, radio personality, Dexter Linkage Blake. He will share his story with us this morning. Anthony, please go ahead and introduce both guests.
We're asking our special guest, one of two, Mr. Vassal George Ogilvy. And he's the founder and CEO of Hudson Valley Dynamic Counseling, HVDC, and it's based in Poughkeepsie, New York. And HVDC was founded back in 2009 with the mission of providing mental health counseling, psychotherapy to individuals and families in need of services for emotional and psychological issues, stress, trauma, depression, anxiety disorder, anger management, grief, and domestic abuse. And Mr. Ogilvy has over 25 years of experience in the field. And our second guest on Grooving Radio this morning, he's no stranger to radio. His name is Mr. Dexter Linkage Blake, who some say has the Midas touch. And from his days as a drummer to forming his own Linkage band to becoming CEO of Linkage Radio, Blake has been shining. And what he glitters even more is his infectious smile and laughter. He was born in Walton Park, Kingston, and graduated from Haile Selassie Secondary. And after becoming a drummer, playing for the likes of Tristan Palmer and Sugar Minot, and a brief employment with the Jamaica Police Force, Dexter migrated here to the U.S. back in 1988. And when this entrepreneur is not jet setting to and from Jamaica, he's, of course, on the radio and on the World Wide Web doing what he does best, which is entertaining listeners and fans alike. So we welcome both gentlemen to Grooving Radio this Saturday morning.
First, let me say good morning to Mr. George Ogilvy. Good morning, George. How are you?
Good morning to you.
You know, Mr. Ogilvy, I know you must be a very busy person at this time because we're still grappling with the COVID-19 pandemic and the mental effect of this, but also the conversation we're about to have this morning. Let me take the time to say good morning to our next guest, Mr. Dexter Linkage Blake. Good morning, Dexter. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Turner and my brother Rustam. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you both. You know, this conversation, as I look at this, 25% of Jamaican fathers, and in Jamaica we call it jacket, 25% of Jamaican fathers are raising a child that is not theirs. And also, another report that changed the numbers here, one in three, 25% is one in four. This next report says one in three. That means it has gotten higher over the years, ladies and gentlemen. On the phone line with us this morning is Mr. Dexter Blake, a man who has lived through this. And then we have a psychotherapist, because Dexter has experienced some mental effect from this, some trauma, emotional trauma. But let me just ask Mr. Ogilvy, what are some of the traumas you're seeing from situations like this as a psychotherapist, George?
Good morning again, and good morning to Mr. Blake also. Morning, sir. And good morning to your audience. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Russ Glenn. And Mr. Turner. Mm-hmm. Good morning. Good morning to everyone. Yes, this is really an interesting topic. And when Anthony approached me, mm-hmm. I was puzzled. I was like, what do I say about this? Because I know about, as you consider it, jacket. Mm-hmm. That's the term mm-hmm. in Jamaica, mm-hmm. jacket. Mm-hmm. So, and somebody from away from Jamaica heard the word jacket there. I'm sure they don't understand what we're talking about.
Right.
So it's great that we put it out here now in the wider public. And Anthony said, what do you want to call this topic? And I said, deception in fatherhood.
Mm.
That's how I was. So the wider public will understand exactly what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you said 25% of Jamaican men mm-hmm. is experienced this deception in fatherhood.
Yeah.
Or this jacket phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to call it. And how it affects men. Well, we really don't have any major study on that. To be honest with you, in Jamaica, if you heard that a man of a jacket, people laugh after you, right? They think it's like, this guy don't know what, you know, some girl give him a baby and him just a fool. And so you're scorned, you're pushed to the side. No one take this seriously clinically. How is this person coping with this deception? How does it affect not only the person, but the child also mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
See? So it's a little bit deeper than just say, oh, he's just a little fool guy on the street, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take a close look at it and what is going on and also the woman who's involved in this.
Right.
What causes her to do this and act this way in a relationship?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because something is going on with her too, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, we have to take into consideration the totality of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The person who have experienced this trauma, the person who caused this trauma,
mm-hmm.
and then the children who will also be affected by it.
Mm. Now, I know Mr. Blake.
And let me put that a little bit further.
Yeah.
The man who has the children with the woman, mm-hmm. he's also a victim too.
So, not only
the fact that you're raising somebody else's children, these children has a father,
right.
Biological father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see how deep it's getting now?
Right, right. It's getting very deep. And I know that Mr. Blake didn't come and see you. But when we first heard about Dexter's story, and like you said, mm-hmm. many people may have laughed at Dexter. Not understanding the seriousness of this. And for those who don't know your story, Linkage, I want you, mm-hmm. I'm gonna give you a few minutes to share your story, because I understand that many of these cases only comes to light when someone files for their children or there is an immigration case going on. What happened in your situation, Dexter Blake? How did you find out that not one of the children that you not one of the child that you thought was yours, yeah. but it turned out to be children? Tell us about your story, Dexter.
All right. Again, good morning to all the staff and everybody over there and all the lady listeners. My story is this, you know, I met these beautiful women and, you know, a year apart, mm-hmm. we have a kid with each of them. I have a child with each one of these ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I am the only father that these kids know. Mm-hmm. There is nobody. I've been there before they give birth. I went in the morning when I found out that they was going to admit in the hospital. I flew down to Jamaica and I was there at the hospital bed. So I was there right through their life. I make sure I support these kids. I make sure I support
mm-hmm.
Their parents. I make sure the kids that grow up with each other in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
It's a point where I said they're big enough and they need to be in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So we were planning for Christmas. I got their room ready, mm-hmm. a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. And I had their room ready. And we put in the paperwork. We have an appointment. Went to the immigration, set the appointment. So sure that these, you know, they're my kids, they're hugging me. The immigration officer stated, Mr. Blake, you know, we have to do a DNA test. You know, I said, they're my kids. They said, no, we have to do. You don't, you have never seen the picture. That's his statement. You don't know the story that I don't, we know. You know, so I said, all right, no problem. So I came back to the U.S. and after meeting, thought I was going to get their citizenship passport. And only to get a letter, not just one, but four letters in the mail. Stating that, because they did it twice. They were so, they was unsure of the first one, and they did it again. And they come one a day apart. And it stated that you are not the biological father of these children.
Wow.
I passed out. I didn't remember nothing. I got to tell the people that this is true love. When you love a kid, when you know, when you talk to your kid every day, you secure that. Then they mean everything. You know, this is real love, just like all my other biological kids. You know, so I end up in the hospital.
Wow.
You know, my girlfriend was there with me, and she was shocked. And I only find myself in the hospital. I make this public and make people to aware the trauma, because if these kids was in the U.S. And you married to a parent, both of you married, and you find out that your kid with your wife is not your biological kid. You have the rights. You should not cut the benefit. You should not stop a kid's future. You should not stop a child. So listen, they don't know no other father. You are the only father these child have. So why take this away from them? So I went to the went out to the U.S. government to find a way how they can change it. And that is why I advocate myself to become a voice of this, stating that, you know, we have to change things. We have to change the look, because real fathers out there,
right?
And you know, they don't have to be the biological child of the child,
right?
You know, but they are the only father the child know. And why stop that privilege? Why stop that if they don't know no other biological?
Right.
So that's why I'm here, to make my voice heard.
You know, I commend you, Dexter. I commend you for your bravery, because, George, when you listen to what Dexter just said, and Anthony, I hope you're paying attention. When you listen to what Mr. Blake just said, when he got those letters, he passed out. The psychological, the mental, and the physical effect of this. As a psychotherapist, George Ogilvy, how do you cope, and how do you deal with this? Because not only now, Mr. Blake, who thought he was the father, not one child, two children, then you have the mothers who lied, and I'm not sure if they willfully lied, then you have the children. And on the other hand now, there might be another person in their life. So many attachment to this. Mr. Ogilvy, how do you process all of this?
Mr. Blake, let me commend you for your courage. That's the first thing I want to say, for your courage. Because most people don't respond like you, you know, honestly speaking. Yeah, most people would not, especially Jamaican. But most people would be very angry, and I'm sure you probably was. But there's two kind of anger. There's destructive anger, and there's constructive anger. And I'm putting you in the category where you were constructive about your anger. Because, of course, you were angry to realize that these are not your biological children. But as you clearly stated, I raised these children. I was there in the birth. So as far as you're concerned, fatherhood is more to you than just biology. Right? You said these children know no other father but me. And so because of your diligence and because of who you are, as a great man, you decided that, listen, in spite of this trauma that I have experienced, I'm going to look beyond the trauma and see these children as mine. And that takes a lot of courage for any man to do that. Especially, it's not only one. How many children you said, though?
Two of them.
Yeah, so it's not only one time this happened. This happened twice. So the deception that you face, I think you probably also have some post-traumatic stress disorder with this kind of stuff. This has to affect you in a way where you probably have some post-traumatic stress disorder with this. I'm not sure who you saw, but I'm sure with this kind of stuff, you have to experience some post-traumatic stress with this. But the way you handle it is commendable. But as I said, you're in a very small category because most people would not handle it this way. First of all, they would be so angry. They would probably be violent in some way. Some people would cut off the kids completely. But you handle it very appropriately. And so you're really an advocate for this. And again, I want to say thank you for taking that approach, because that is the right approach. Because the children are a victim also. And I should not suffer.
Right. And again, you know, I made the point, and ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Grooving Radio, our conversation this morning on Mic Check. Two reports we're looking at here. One says 25% of Jamaican fathers are raising what they call in Jamaica a jacket, a child that is not theirs, or children that are not theirs. And then there's another report, a later report, that says 1 in 3 Jamaican men have been given a child that is not theirs. So when you talk about what the mother did and the hurt that this is causing across the board, because you have gone above and beyond, Mr. Dexter Blake. You have gone above and beyond to be there for these children. You went to the point of filing for them, preparing a place for them, knowing that these children are yours. And then you got the breaking news that none of these children, none of these are yours. So not only that you're an advocate, you have now become the voice. You have now become a voice of this. Do you know how many people, listening to us right now have been through this and cannot face the music to talk about it? Because remember now, Anthony, when we were growing up, children must be heard and not be seen. So when you ask your parents a question, if one of your brothers or sisters didn't look like you, them tell you to shut up. Right, Anthony? It's none of your business. How many of us have a brother or a sister that does not belong to the same mother and same father? Thank God for immigration. But Dexter, you said you passed out. When you come back to reality, when you came back to reality, what were your thoughts? What were you thinking, Dexter?
When I came back, the first thing that I do, I call the kids, my son and my daughter, you know. I didn't want to talk to their mother. I was so mad. I called them, and I said, listen, I didn't let them know. One of them was 9 and the other one was 7. So I said, sweetie, guy, you know, I'm your dad. No matter what, you know, I am your dad and I love you so much. And I was assuring them with every breath that I have that I will be a part of their life, you know, and try my best. I never turn back. I turn around from my duty as a father because they know no other father. And I spoke with the mothers and they said that they don't know who is it. They don't know. And, you know, sometimes I just look into what happened and say, you know, honestly, long-distance relationship is kind of hard, you know. And at the spur of the moment, things has happened. Maybe they have a doubt, but that person is not in a better position like me, you know. So I just figured that I'm in a good position and thank God for me because it could be another man out there and they don't, these kids just leave without no care, no support,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to know that, like, every day,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter now is 14. My son is 12.
Mm-hmm.
And they take up the phone, call me. I go over their homework.
Wow.
I'm not a man is not going to take that up. I'm not mm-hmm. a man who found out later
mm-hmm.
that they are the biological father. They miss that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask a question, Mr. Blake.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The true biological father, has he been identified in this?
No. The my son mother stated that she know who is it, but he's not nowhere around.
That's what she
and
told
she
you.
She don't know. Yeah, that's what she said. She said, "Oh, I know who it is, but I don't. I don't know how to get in contact with him, and I don't want my son to be falling that chance. If mm-hmm. if she want to do it, she do it. But you know,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I told my daughter. I didn't. My son. I try to tell him, but he's like, he don't even want to care. He don't even say nothing. He just."
Mm.
You know, he's so proud of his dad that even if he's at school, he's calling me.
Mm.
My daughter, I told my daughter, just said, listen, she said, Daddy, you're my father. I don't care, mommy, say you're my father. Look how we look alike. And it just blindsided everything because, we just look at each other eyebrows, we look at each other lips.
Mm-hmm.
And we just blindsided, and I just used that, you know. So we find a little similarity in ourselves, you know.
Well,
that's the only thing we have.
Let me ask you another question, if I may. Mm-hmm. What is your feeling, and how do you feel about the children's mother at this present moment?
Well, it still hurts. I am mad as hell. Sometimes I don't even want to talk to them.
Mm.
You know, sometimes I don't even want to talk to them. That's why I take up the phone and call them. Sometimes I don't even. My daughter mother, I blocked her number. She can't call me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I talk to my daughter 24/7. I send support. I make sure they have a place to live.
Wow.
You know, because I stated that my daughter, she's becoming a young woman now,
mm-hmm.
and she should, you know, have her father. A figure around her that to support her and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes my daughter would call me and cry.
Wow.
You know, wow. Oh, she missed me.
Yeah.
You know, then I would have to fly to Jamaica, you know, and I would fly to Jamaica for a day or two just to see her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, so the children are still living with her, correct?
In Jamaica.
Two different mothers.
Two different mothers.
Yeah.
Wow.
But George, it's happening with two different women.
Two different women. Anthony, hold on 1 second. I know you have a question. And is the question for Dexter or George?
Well, for both of them.
Okay, so gentlemen, you're going to have to hear the question, and when we come back after the break, because the computers will take over. Anthony, go ahead and ask the question.
Yeah, the question is really economics, because, I mean, in trying to get to why the woman did this, is there some economic reason why, I mean, maybe Dexter may be able to answer that, and from, you know, George's perspective, could economics mm-hmm. be part of the reason?
When we come back after the break, and, you know, I know this is a very common question. Circumstances make these women do what they do. But it has happened too often, though. It has happened way too often. And sometimes in some men's situation, George, it is not one child. It is 2 and 3 children from the same woman to the same man. So it makes you now think, what are these women up to? What are some of these women up to? And when the truth comes out, it's as if they don't even care about the children. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Groovin' Radio. Our conversation this morning, 25% of Jamaican fathers are raising children that are not theirs. In Jamaica, we call it jacket. What did you call it, psychotherapist? What did you call it, George?
Deception in fatherhood.
Deception in fatherhood. We have a real life situation here this morning. A man who have lived through the pain and the suffering of this, telling his story, Mr. Dexter Linkage Blake. When we come back, we're going to talk about the economics that may be connected to this. The circumstances why women go down this road. So many people are getting hurt and so many people have been caught up in this situation. My name is Ras Clem and this is Groovin' Radio. We're taking a break. When we come back, we will continue. Deception in Father Wood.
This is Max Supreme.
This is Mikey Spice.
Listen, Ashencia.
I sing a melody representing
blessed love and honor. This is Janine.
Yo, this is Bunchy Garland, all the way from Trinidad and Tobago.
We're grooving on the radio. The Rasclem, keep it locked. IKEA said that.
It's powerful, it's informative, it's educational with lots of thought-provoking conversations. Yes, it's Groovin' Radio, Saturday morning 9 to 11:30 and Sunday evening 6 to 8, right here on 93.5 WVIP, hosted by Ross Clem. Join the Groovin' Radio experience and stay one step ahead.
Accepting our offer to be part of our Broadway cast includes dinner every evening at any five-star Manhattan restaurant.
Thank you, but no thank you. When I'm in New York, I only eat at the door.
Have you ever eaten at any five-star Manhattan restaurant?
Five-star or 5 trillion-star. Me uncle niam at the door.
The door.
The door.
The door. The door. Elegance. Fine dining. Our professional staff is here to serve you.
And most importantly, great Jamaican foods. For elegant dining and authentic Jamaican food.
Some I lose them, we are ask them, rewrote them, not turn him back. Pan the rail, you them, and all who are chats. We mute them, them not smoke, them not sick, them not have pink eye, but them yeah in red. Yeah, man, ask them, we better than everything, all step, man.
And thank you so much, Bugle, as we return for the final 26 minutes of our Groovin' Radio's presentation this Saturday morning. This one is really a thought-provoking conversation. The topic is, a lot of Jamaican men are raising a child that is not theirs. And I'm changing the conversation, I'm changing the numbers now. Because a gentleman just called me to say that I have the numbers wrong. He think it's over 90% because he has a friend that has 4 children in Jamaica. And when the man went to Jamaica to bring his children here, not one of those children are his. He said his friend is now going crazy. We have a real-life individual who have lived through this. His name is Mr. Dexter Linkage Blake. And we have a psychotherapist who is trying to deal with and break this down for us. Mr. George Ogilvy. Anthony Turner is also a part of this jacket conversation. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, before we took the break, Anthony posed a question about economics. Who wants to take on that first? George?
Let me take that on. Economics.
Mm-hmm.
As you look at Mr. Blake's situation,
mm-hmm.
it has nothing to do with economics. Mr. Blake sounds like he's a very progressive man,
mm-hmm.
worked hard,
mm-hmm.
loved his children. He
mm-hmm.
said he takes care of them from they were at birth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that this one was in need of money. I think it's a little bit deeper than that. And I'm talking as a clinician. From a clinician perspective,
mm-hmm.
I think these women are also suffering some kind of mental illness, also some sort of narcissistic personality, lack of empathy going on in their mind, selfishness going on. It's not so much, I think, has to do with economics. Now, the economic may be the fact that after she found out that she's carrying someone else's child, she does not want to lose the economic from Mr. Blake or whoever the person may be, because she's in a very comfortable position with that person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think initially, I don't think it has to do with economics. Mm-hmm. Maybe on the backside of it, she might think of herself like, I can't say anything, you know, because if I say anything now, this person might cut me off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a little bit deeper than that from the stage, that the stage phase one, I think it has to do with more of this sort of a deception, this sort of a narcissistic personality, lack of empathy, selfishness that causes this kind of behavior.
Mm. Dexter.
Touch the right point here, yes.
Mm. Go ahead, Dexter. Your take on the economics part of it, because maybe you can reveal to us a little bit more about, briefly, because we only have 20 minutes, briefly, the economic background of these two individuals that has had children for you.
All right. Number one, when a woman who's in Jamaica, say a virgin from foreign or whatever, first thing they're going to look at, and we have to be straight up with that, first thing they're going to look at is that person have money, that person have come from foreign. But after the relationship grow, and you deal, because this relationship was for at least 2 years. One of them was two, the other one was around 3 years. My daughter was, mother was two, my son's mother was around 3 years. But the thing is that they were well taken care of. While I was in a relationship with both of them, they was real good. I would send their money weekly, whatever they want. If there's a big show in Jamaica, I would be there, taking it. So that would be good. But after finding out that they're pregnant, I figured that they realized that, I was in a better situation to be a father, so why not, because it would be a better... My kid would be in a better position, taken care of. He wouldn't need a pampers. And I understand. So it's kind of strange to say this, but I do understand them. I do understand women. I do understand a poor set of family or whatever.
Mm.
It's nothing bad in to say that a woman, perception is a greater part of it.
Mm.
If you, the survival part of it, the fact is that they have to find a way to survive. And if she can, listen, I'm going, I don't care. I'm giving him the baby, because he can't take care of it. Why not? That boy, they don't, can't do nothing,
Rasklem.
Yes, sir.
Rasklem.
Yeah.
Let me just quickly remind the audience that poor man have Jackie too,
Yes. Yeah. 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 Because
the man in the ghetto.
Yeah.
Don't really have much going on, Jackie too,
So
we have to look at it a little bit deeper. You see what's going on?
Right. And for Dexter to be saying the things he's saying this morning, he's cut from a different cloth, He's cut from a because I just got another notification here. This individual, Mr. Thompson, says that at least 60% of children born in Jamaica to fathers overseas, they're not their children. So the percentage keep changing here for real life. But for Mr. Blake to say he understand the woman perspective when it comes to this, he is cut from a different cloth, because think about it. Mr. Blake, when he found out that the children weren't his, he passed out. He could have died. He passed out. And up to this day, if you listen to Dexter's conversation, there is still some emotions in there. Am I correct, Dexter?
Yes, brother. It has been over five years now, 4 years.
So on a daily basis.
I think about it every day. Every day.
Wow. Wow.
Every moment, every phone call that I get is that, it's just scary.
Mm.
Just to know, to listen.
at any moment, the mother can change the baby mind. At any moment, they can say, listen, even though I signed the birth certificate, and by law in Jamaica, they stated that it you know, if you sign the birth certificate, you know, I have to sign another document to get my name off the birth certificate. So, you know.
Yeah. No, you posed something earlier on, and I want to find out where is it now. The fact that you filed for these children, Dexter, and you found out that these children are not yours, and you said you went above and beyond to ensure that these children are taken care of, and you approach immigration, you approach the U.S. government, is there any light at the end of this tunnel that you may be able to get these children here? Any light?
The only other option was to adopt. But the issue is that I wait too long. Because my daughter, I want them to grow up together. So I didn't want to separate one from the other because it seems selfish because they've been growing up from their baby. They live maybe around 8 miles away from each other, 10 miles away from each other. So taking one from the other because they see each other every weekend, you know, it could be bad. So my daughter, she would have to live with me for at least 2 years. She's older now, she's 13. So when I approached the adoption part of it, they stated that the adoption, she's too old because by the time the adoption procedure come through, we should be 16 and an adult. So she would not get a chance to be a child with me. So they cut off the adoption part of it at the age of 13, 14.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Mr. Blake, you know, you can become their legal guardian, though. You know that. You're aware of that, right?
In Jamaica, no.
You might not be. No. Yes, you can get an attorney. You can become their legal guardian. You might not be able to adopt them and bring them to the United States, but you can become their legal guardian. That means you become their guardian.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I'm just giving you that information. You need to check that out.
Yes, and I'll call the attorney. I have an attorney that I trust.
Yes, tell the attorney that you're aware of the fact that because of all the adoption laws in Jamaica are, you want to become their legal guardian.
So, you know, Anthony, when we started this conversation, we talk about the mental, the financial, the physical, the emotional effect of all of this. So now here it is. They're telling Mr. Blake it's too late for him to adopt these children. And George, what you just said is very important, that he can become, he is their legal guardian. I don't think immigration have any care at all. I don't think they care if these children come here or not. And what you're doing, Dexter, is, I mean, it's, I can't find words to commend your brethren, because not many people, I don't know of anybody who would have done what you're doing, Dexter. I don't know of anyone who would be talking the way you're talking now. And the fact that there's so much hurt in this, not only to you, the children, and the children suffers the most in this because you have been there before they came on earth and you have supported them from day number one. And if you should have cut off that support, just think about how devastating this would be. This deception is very bad. So, Cones, as a psychotherapist, Judge, what should people do when they find themselves in this position? Hearing Mr. Blake's story and hearing the fact that he passed out and how he lives his life daily now with the emotional trauma of this, How should folks deal with this?
Right. I mean, I think the way Mr. Bates handled it, as you say, is extraordinary. And he's one of a kind. And the fact that he's even showing empathy to the woman, because I heard him sort of like he's giving them some empathy, which is amazing. You know, what man has to do is really, and it may sound crazy, but if you know that your woman is pregnant, the first thing you might want to do is get a DNA so we don't go through all of this foolishness, right? If you suspect that this is not your child, I think it's okay for you to ask for a DNA test. And that will settle it once and for all before the children become older and then we get into this kind of a situation. That's one option.
Mm-hmm.
Another option is that if you don't do that and then you found out later, I think you really need to get some help, as what Mr. Blake have done, is to talk to a therapist, a psychiatrist, or a psychotherapist about this process. And there also need to be some closure with the female, because obviously it doesn't seem there's any closure with these two females, Mr. Blake, other than Mr. Blake sort of separate himself from them. But there's no closure, per
se. Is there any criminality in all of this?
Yes. Are they taking any responsibility for their behavior? Did they see that this has affected the children and Mr. Blake and how they feel about it? They need to take some responsibility for this, for sure.
Yeah, I was asking about criminality. Can you, the woman, be held criminally responsible for deception?
Right, that's a good one. You have to talk to a lawyer about that. I don't know if there's any criminal implication on that one. But that's a good question, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
You might need a lawyer to kind of answer that question. I'm not going into that.
And just listening to Dexter, I don't think Dexter have any thoughts about criminally prosecuting these women, because as I said before, he is a different individual, and we commend you for that. Anthony, let's put ourselves in the picture here, Anthony. If you should go home and find out that one of your child is not yours, what would you do?
Boy, and as a married man, I guess legally I'm not even sure if, you know, you probably would be still responsible for any sort of child support. But when you grow up and know the kids as your own, then, you know, I think the biological part is not even a critical part, because you know the kids, you know them inside out as your own. So. But I applaud Dexter. I know when we were trying to get this, even to find somebody to come on to talk and share their story, it was very difficult.
It was a difficult one. But when we called Dexter, and you and I both had a conversation with Dexter, I had to tell him, slow down, let's see if this was Saturday morning, because he was just so hoping and willing. And I hope along the way this morning, Dexter, we were able to help people to come out. I had a situation. I have a godson. I have a godson that his father and I are still friends today. We grew up together. And he found out that his son wasn't, which is my godson, wasn't his son. And it has affected him. I think he has come around to a certain point now to understand what happened. And when he talks about it today, there's still that emotion. He's not like Dexter. He didn't take it like Dexter. And the sad thing about this happened here in these United States. And he had to pay child support until the child was 21 years old. So, folks, this is a serious deception. When a woman passes on a child to a man, knowingly that the child does not belong to that man, it is a serious deception. And not only that, you're hurting the person who thinks and thought that they're the biological parent here. What about the child? And what about the man who you pass the child on to? There are so many things that can happen here. And that is why when we look at the world today, and I'm not a psychotherapist, but I understand it enough to realize that some of the craziness that we're seeing today, it's not just caused from someone just losing their mind because they have done some drugs or they're falling in hard times. No. This deception with Jamaican woman, which ranks at the top of the table in terms of countries, Jamaica ranks in the top 10 when it comes to women deceiving men and giving them what they call a jacket. 60 seconds, George, your closing statement.
Yes, Mr. Blake.
Yes,
it's a pleasure meeting you. And if you need to talk to me, you know, I do telehealth, so you don't have to drive to Poughkeepsie. We can talk about it.
All right.
So we have. I can. If you really need to talk to me, that would be no problem. I just want to put that out there also.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In regards to this phenomenon, as you said, Rasklem,
mm-hmm.
we really have to address it, and I'm very happy that you are addressing it in this manner, because it's not a joke thing anymore. This is serious. This is very serious, and I'm really reaching out to the women and to the men in our country, Jamaica. And you know, jackets. Everybody get jackets everywhere. You know? I mean, we have jackets in America, too. But as you said, we're talking about specific in our culture and in Jamaica. This is a big phenomenon, and we need to look at it and find out exactly why does these things happen so mm-hmm. frequently mm-hmm. in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say to the men, if this happened to you, mm-hmm. there are help out there. There are clinical help.
Right.
There are places in Jamaica that you can get help from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's best to deal with it in a constructive way.
Mm-hmm.
As Mr. Blake said, I got mad. Mm-hmm. It's really anger. It's anger.
Yeah.
Anger is an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more constructive the way Mr. Blake handled it. And that is the way I would say you should handle it.
Wow.
Don't do anything silly about it.
Yes.
Be constructive about it.
Mm.
And Mr. Blake, God bless you, sir.
Yeah,
that's
man.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much, George. Dexter, I give you 60 seconds. We're almost out of time. Your closing remarks, your message to the community this morning.
You know, thank God for this platform, you know, as a media personality and mm-hmm. all the platform that I use to make this
mm-hmm.
My voice
be heard.
And to, yeah. for people, to, yeah, my mm-hmm. voice heard and for people to understand
mm-hmm.
that, you know, When things like this happen, you don't go there and kill the woman. Don't go. Just take, you know, take a moment, breathe, take a moment and recollect yourself, you know, and say, listen, let's give the child or the kids a chance. You know, mistakes happen, you know, and don't kill the woman, you know, let them live.
Yeah, good message.
Life is life.
Good message, Dexter.
Life is life.
Once again, brethren, I commend you. I commend you for the way you handle this. I thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story this morning. And I do hope that we were able to touch others. I do hope that we were able to help somebody this morning. This deception, it has become too common. And we must have these thought-provoking conversation. You know, I think sometimes I am braver than I think I am, because having this conversation, I know many people are saying, Rasklem, why are you doing this? Yeah, but yes, we must have it. We must have these conversation, because the deception, Anthony, it is not good. It is wrong. Thank you so much, Anthony. Thank you so much, George. And thank you so much, Dexter, for joining us this Saturday morning. Gentlemen, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to the fathers who play mothers, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there in the sound of our voice.
And happy birthday to you. I think you mentioned something
about your
birthday.
Yes, today.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, man, give thanks.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, man.
Happy birthday. And
give thanks.
And thank you for inviting me to the station, and anything that I can do to help and to make things better for our society, I'm right there with you.
Thank you so
much. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, George. You're welcome. Dexter, thank you, brethren. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
One love. Anthony.
All right.
Have a blessed one.